something coming up, some time rolls or something?
I don't know. Maybe a time roll.
Yes.
Oh, Mike, that's it. You've supplied me in the past, right?
Yeah.
Is it Advil? What do we have this year? What do we have here?
Oh, this is generic aspirin.
Generic aspirin? Okay. Last year we had the Advil
stuff. Aspirin's better.
Yeah? Yeah.
Doctor's science. How many did you take? Two, or what did you say? I didn't hear. How many do I take of these?
The injections, I think, maybe two.
Two? So not more than four. Okay. There we go. Thank you very much. Regarding the rally on Wednesday, a few people asked me about that. What I've heard is that they're trying to make a very big impression on Wednesday. You can have a situation where there are rallies all the time, and that's something which, it's always in a good cause, if it's a good cause, and this is certainly a very good cause. But if it's something that's happening all the time, obviously it's very distracting to Talmud Torah, and I don't think it's a good idea institutionally. But when you have a situation where once a year, twice a year, there's a particularly important one where, again, it's important to make a big impression, I think that under those circumstances, that it's definitely proper to go. Again, if somebody feels strongly that they want to stay and learn and doesn't want to interrupt this starim, I respect that too. But the truth is, if it is supposed to be one of the bigger ones, and they're really trying to mobilize all the different yeshivas and schools, etc., then I think one should go. I think they have buses going to minimize the bikul zman of it. One should learn until the buses go. I think it's also the case that whenever you have these kind of rallies and you lose time, especially from the regular Seder time, I think this is a matter of principle. It's always important to make that up. And, especially it's the week of Slichos, Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's a reason to go, to cry out for something that affects Klal Yisrael. But it's also a reason not to not to Nevach Torah. So whatever time, I think they some of the organizers just told me that they have a bus going around 11, is that it? And the thing is called the 12, and they're going to try to get everybody back by 2 or 2:30 or 3. So whatever time is taken out, I think it's symbolically important to try to put that time back sometime in the next couple of days, whether it means learning a little extra at night or learning more on Erev Shabbos, which in this case is also Erev Rosh Hashanah, or learning more Mishmar night, Thursday night, whatever it is. I think it's not so much the hours itself. I just think symbolically, especially at this time of year, especially when it cuts into the 9 to 3 part of the Seder, I think it's important to make it up. But I would encourage people to go, all things being equal, because I think it is important that that our voice be heard. There's no question that the danger from Iran is very, very serious, very, very grave. And the rest of the world certainly seems to be sleeping and not taking it seriously, or is too frightened to want to take it seriously. So at least to the extent that we can wake people up. The truth is, the United States is very good. The United States is in this respect really out front, together with Israel, but certainly the rest of the world, including Europe, never mind Asia, right, is not. So I think it is important. Okay, let's move on to the topics at hand. I was going to call this, I'll call it tomorrow because I took already too much time. Just a final comment or two on Gnevas Nefesh. I mentioned the tshuva of Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go into it. Does anybody have the Bar Ilan disc? I know a few people had it last year. You have it.
Yeah.
Do they have the tshuvas of Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So it's Simon, I think it's Simon Mem. They have it there? So for Sal Ashkenazi, what?
Kiva just retired.
Just has the Bar Ilan also.
Yeah.
Ah. Thank you for
bringing
that. What do you have? 13, 14? 14? 13. 13. Is it Sinan Ben?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Tal Ashkenazi was asked the question, why is it that we call it Gnevas Nefesh and not Gezelas Nefesh, especially since the, number one, the fellow knows about it because he's the one who's being kidnapped. Again, unless he's, we discussed this the other day, I mentioned that's an issue, unless, you know, he's blindfolded, but even then it's forcible at minimum. And moreover, why shouldn't this apply Bain Begneva, Bain Begzela? Okay, go ahead. So that's the question.
It's not
Mem. Maybe try Mem Beis. In the actual book, it's that I've seen, it's in Sinan Mem. But it could be that different version. Oh, really? Shuvah Sarap with Sal Ashkenaz. And they don't have it in... try Lamed Ches or Lamed Ches. What is it? Lamites. Okay, I guess for they were different editions of it.
Yeah.
Show that, just very
quickly.
Yeah. So why does it say lo signov, and that's gnevas nefesh? Why not say lo sigzol? That seems to make more sense.
Tshuva, lo yadati mazo she'ila al harazal, shemana hamitzvos, v'halo b'raisa shlema shalino v'perek elu hen anechnapin, v'garsinan hasav, tan rabbanan, lo signov, v'gonif nefashos v'kasa v'dadeh. Tau v'gonif nefashos v'vino elu v'gonif mamon, amar se'il l'mad v'shos sevido sh'ekor yigashos v'her.
Okay, so number one, what are you blaming it on the Monei Mitzvos? It's an explicit Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay, but that just begs the question. The question still is a good question. It's just not a question on the Monei Mitzvos. So that was, why is this Gnevas Nefesh? And it should have been Gezelas Nefesh. Go ahead. Yeah. It's not only the Aseres HaDibros, it's also the other Parsha, which deals with the details of kidnapping. There, too, it's called Gneva and not Gzela. Go ahead. Okay. So number one, he's mechadesh that not only is it a, that's the Shoel, you know, in his, in, I guess in his worst nightmare, never thought that you know, that gzelas nefesh is not chayv misa. He probably assumed that gzelas nefesh is chayv misa, and was only asking how come the Torah formulates it as gneva when it would have been more accurate, more precise to call it gzela. So if it's Al Ashkenazi doesn't want better. It says, by the way, Gzelas Nefesh is not Chayv Misa, only Gnevas Nefesh is. Go ahead.
The cause of Haramban, Zal, the parent test, was equal to Zeba, Gzel Shono. He had gone up Chayv Misa as Tene, Achi Yimno Ben Adam, the Akhisen of the Rishuso, Vishamishko, Vim Perenu Lacherim, Shem Rab Nisamer Bo Makaro, Adkar. Mashal Hedja, the Dafka of the Shibganba, about the Taka of the Akhad Yisrael, Lutne,
Again, one more time. Behind the taima, da asuyin. By the way, this is an important thing to know. It's an important thing to know when you go to the rally too. Asuyin, bale zroa, lipo. Know what it says?
Yeah.
Meaning the people who use force are ultimately going to fail. Go ahead.
Given she had about Israel, the Nimkar, Alpha Panin, Yifdugu, the Hare Eno Abu, Ashikin Biganu, the Loyada Loada Bigdivaso, Verenu Abu Dola.
So he says a very important Yisod. Okay, it's an interesting Yisod in life. You know, force does not ultimately win. But on the contrary, the more important point here is the Mechayiv of Gnevas Nefesh is creating a situation of Avud. Go ahead.
Fatilo Bignavo, the gando, kanala, di gando, vinishamishbo, mukharo, badai haish birishus atmo, below kriso, hagana, birishus no kato. Ubidomizor, rudi mukharo laka, mikroba, so gando, kigoshavakal abibola, olala, he, harisa pot, chamber, go to nefish, mechav, achi abdilenu mechav, mikroba, mukhiro.
So that yabdilenu mechav is the mechayib of Gnevas Nefesh. That's the.
Harikan shalom vidas habayli. Bein makum l'sheil lozok klal. Ve'emesu pilo signo shu'aser tadibro samayri al-gun v'kasho sopi yisodin v'kabla ha'emis.
Okay. So basically he says two important yisodas. Number one, or three important things. Number one, that Gnevas Nefesh applies only to Gneva, not to Gezela. Number two, that the Mechayiv of Gnevas Nefesh is removing him from making him avud min ha'adam or avud mimakomo mishulton or whatever it is, as opposed to simply suppressing him, you know, temporarily, or causing him a loss, or and so on. That's number two. And number three, which is at least as important as the other two, is that the victims, in a way, or also the victims, are the family from whom he is separated, rather than he himself. That's a huge chiddush. All these are chiddushim of Rabbi Tzalel Ashkenazi. It's interesting, this shita that, do they have the footnotes there also?
No.
Okay. So in the one that I saw recently, so they also have some footnotes. He points out correctly that the Minchas Chinuch came up with this on his own, not the whole thing, but Minchas Chinuch also is medayik and says it's exeris akasiv, that Gnevas Nefesh is limited to Gneva and doesn't apply to Gezela. In the Haros to the Minchas Chinuch, they point out that in the parish of Yosef Bechor Shar, he says explicitly that it applies to Gezela's Nefesh as well. Okay. Number one, just a few quick points. Number one, we mentioned the Rashi, when I was quoting Baruch Dov's Raya from Bava Kama Samech Chesam Beis. So I noted the Rashi talks about the fact that there's no yiyush when it comes to Gnevas Nefesh. And Rashi says, because ein adam b'siyaesh al atzma. So the question arises, is that Rashi against this Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi? Rashi seems to be saying that the victim is himself, not the people from whom he is separated. But again, in the footnotes of the later tshuvas of Tzal Ashkenazi that I read, he quotes, I believe he quotes from Menachem Zemba in Zer Avram, who wasn't bothered by this Rashi, was bothered by another question. Some of the Achronim really don't like this from Tzal Ashkenazi. The Sefer Mitzvah of Sajigon, for example, Rabbi Ruchem Fischer Perlo doesn't like it, and the Sefer Maisa Rokeach doesn't like it, and they ask several questions against it. So one of the things that they ask is, what does it mean to say that, you know, that the victims here are the family? To what extent can any other person be a bailim on you, outside of avdus? There's something called avdus, in which case you have kinyanim on the other person. And even then, there's a question, kinyan aguf, kinyan iser, kinyan mamon. But a regular person, even if he's a close member of his family, to what extent can we say that they are the victims of his having been kidnapped? Right. That's the question that Sefer Mitzvah Reb Sajigon and Maisa Rokeach ask against this tshuva. It cannot be. Such a thing is inconceivable. I also ask, the whole distinction between Gneva and Gezela is relevant. We're talking about an inanimate object. We're talking about a person who's Nigdav, and especially in the context of Gnevas Nefesh, where there's concept of Hasra and Edim. So if there's really Hasra and Edim, how can you talk about Gneva and Gezela? So they don't like this at all. They come to the conclusion, Bein b'Gneva, Bein b'Gezela, like Rav Yosef, Bechor Shor. But Rabbi Nachum Zemba, responding to the question of bailus, says Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi never really said that the bailus of the person belongs to his father or his brothers or his family. He didn't say that at all. Bailus is one thing. What we're talking about is who is the victim of this particular Gnevas Nefesh. The answer is the person from whom he was separated. That doesn't mean that they're the Dine Mamanis Bailim. Two different issues. And having said that, I don't think that Rashi is necessarily a stira to Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi either for that reason. Because what Rashi is trying to explain is the technical question whether there is Yiyush in that case. Rashi says there's no Yiyush because Ein Adam Misyayish Al Atzmo. That has to do with Kinyanim. He, of course, is the Bailim over himself, Linyan Kinyanim. His parents, his family, Klal Yisrael don't own him. They're not the ones who are going to be Miyayish over him. And nonetheless, whether or not he would be Nikne Al Yidei Mechiraso, that depends, therefore, on him and on him alone. But nonetheless, the Oser of Gnevas Nefesh is what you've done to the people from whom you have separated him. Again, I think this is all very poignant also in cases of people who are either kidnapped or missing at war, etc. There really are two victims. I mean, that's clear. Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi is emphasizing one in particular. In any case, I don't think the question from Rashi is so difficult, but I think it's important to know why it's not. Either way, Zipritz or Psadjagon, Choshor, all of them disagree and think that Bein Begneva, Bein Begzela. Some bring a raya from the Kesav Mishnah. Kesav Mishnah in Hilchos Melachim, Parakas Halachates, the Ram that we saw already, the Ram speaks about Gezel Benoach, and the Ram says that Gnevas Nefesh is included in Gezel Benoach. Right? So if you look at the Kesav Mishnah, Al-Atar, the Kesav Mishnah says not only Gnevas Nefesh, but Gzelas Nefesh as well. So it seems like the Kesav Mishnah is supporting the position of those who disagree with Milchas Chinuch and earlier Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, and is saying that kidnapping applies not only to Geneva but to Gazela as well. However, I think again in that same tshuva of Rabbi Nachum Zemba, I think he points out that that's not necessarily a correct conclusion. Why? Ariel? Schwartz? Why is it not necessarily a correct conclusion from the Kesef Mishnah that Midas Agud or Bitzal Ashkenazi? They'll say?
We said that Al-Nafri is
not a what?
The whole notion of the Al-Nafri is basically
the regular Gazel. Yeah. Exactly. Because when the Rambam says Nochus Malachim that Gnevas Nefesh is included in Gezel Ben Noach, we shouldn't forget the context. What he's really speaking about is not Gnevas Nefesh, but he's speaking about a Mechayiv of Gezel, just that his Mechayiv of Gezel extends considerably, just like it applies to Pavas Mishava Pruta and to Yifas Toar, so it applies as well to Gnevas Nefesh as one, and therefore the Kesav Mishnah, by the way, the Rambam didn't say this, the Kesav Mishnah said it. The Kesav Mishnah adds, for good measure, and by the way, I think this would apply to Gezelas Nefesh as well. But that isn't, if that's B'Torah's Gezel, and the whole category is Gezel. So if Gnevas Nefesh is Gezel, then Gezelas Nefesh can be Gezel too. That doesn't prove that where you have a separate halacha of Gnevas Nefesh, which the Torah calls Gnevas Nefesh, and which is a separate Mechayim that is different from Gnevas Mamon and Gezelas Mamon, that too will apply to Gezelas Nefesh. That's an important horror. It's interesting, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Vav points out, for example, that based on this Rambam, that Gnevas Nefesh is Gezel for Ben Noach, so does that require Mechira or Shamshus, which are the normal conditions of Gnevas Nefesh? In order to be Chayv Misa for Yisrael, right, you have to be Mishtamish Bo, Umecharo, or Mecharo, one or the other. Do you need that for a Ben Noach, according to the Rambam in Parak Tes, Halacha Tes? So the Minchas Chinuch says, in my opinion, absolutely not. Why? For the same reason. Because it's not B'Torah's Gnevas or Gzelas Nefesh, it's B'Torah's an extension of Gezel. When it's Petaris Gezel, then you don't require the additional chumras of Mechira and Imor, etc. By the same token, he says, Gnevas Nefesh, the Pashtus is only be Yisrael. Okay, but what about the Gezel Benoach that includes Gnevas Nefesh? He says, that should apply probably to anybody. Right? Bein be Yisrael, Bein be Akum, Bein be Ben Noach, Bein be Eved be Shivcha. Why? This is the Michal Schinoch talking. Michal Schinoch didn't link it up to the question of Gezel Benoach. I'm just putting the two together. Basically, because he says, because that's a Mechayev of Gezel, not a Mechayev of Gezel or Gnevas Nefesh. And therefore, again, these nuances are not going to be Ma'akim. Okay. What I'd like to suggest is that even if we were to take the position that Gnevas Nefesh included Gezela, right, we would then have to still explain why it's called Lo Signo. In both cases it's called, in both Parshios in the Torah, it's called Gneva. So if it applies to Gzela, why is it called Gneva? So some Achronim say, you know, Dibra Kasu Vlashon Hovev, normally kidnapping isn't done, brazenly and explicitly, it's normally done, secretly. But I think in light of everything that we've discussed, which is, we've been trying to explain that, even the link between Gnevas Nefesh and Gnevas Mammon is to Gnevas Mammon. The whole point is that it's not about Hefsid Mammon, certainly, and it's not even about Chiser or Kavash. It's about Ahinas Maisavera, one in which the Gavra Ganav is really a Rasha. Again, I'm not saying a Gazlan isn't a Rasha, he is, but I've been across a Rasha, but not to the extent that a Ganav is. And that's exactly what the Gemara says in Daf Ayin Tes as well. So even if Gzelas Nefesh is included under the rubric of Gnevas Nefesh, perhaps the use of the word Gneva is connected to our whole discussion. And if we were to limit to Gneva, like Rav Tzal Ashkenazi, another way to explain it might be that, Gezel Nefesh, maybe that's part of what he's saying, separates you from your family, causes you a loss, temporarily takes away your freedom. But Gnevas Nefesh has a connotation more of a Maisa Vera and a Shem Rosh of Agav. Yeah, Moshe.
We're saying that it's applied to Gnevas Nefesh, but it has to be more than Maisa Vera, and it does have very much to do with the Kenyan and the Shem Rosh taking effect as opposed to more of the rich Nefesh.
In what? In which case? In Gnevas Nefesh? Well, I'm saying in general we've been saying that the Gezel is more about the Hefsed Mammon and that Gneva is more about a Maisa Aveira and a Shem Rasha. That's how we've explained Amanas Lamekat and Gezel Akum and Pachos Mishava Pruta. Right? We tried to explain in all those cases that that Gneva transcends the Mammon aspect, and we tried to explain that's why, if it is connected to Gnevas Nefesh, it's connected for that reason as well. Namely, it's in the Aseres HaDibros. It's it has a capital crime parallel as well. So what I'm suggesting now is, for that very reason, it's called Gneva, not Gezela.
We're just talking about the nature of the Maisa without actually the idea of taking something from the title.
Well, there is a Hotzah near Shus. I mean, there is that in Gneva's Nefesh too. I think that's part of the point. It has to be... Bershus, it has to be through a Kenyan, it has to be, it can't be even Echav, etc. But that's what we were discussing, yes, Ki Matze. So I think those are the aspects where there is a Maisa Gneva, which, again, isn't necessarily required in Gezel. So I think that all works out nicely. Having said that, let me just go back to one other point, another Baruch Dov point. Baruch Dov was suggesting that according to Rav Sajigon, who doesn't require necessarily the Mechira that's O Mechira, so maybe there's a stronger connection to Gneva, right, which also doesn't require Mechira. Mechira is separate in Gneva. Okay. So again, and that might be the Shitaso, etc. So just interesting to note that the Minchas Chinuch himself in Mitzvah Lamed Vav, Sif Katan Aleph, is poshet that even without the Mechira, and some of the other requirements of the capital offense, you will violate Lo Signo. of the Aseres HaDibros. Now, if you kidnap somebody, but you don't use him as an Eved, and you don't sell him, so it's nothing? Right? The capital crime requires that he be used and sold, according to the Rambam, let's say. Or at least one of those, according to the other Rishonim. But absent of that, you don't violate the signal, or you just don't get the capital crime. So Minchas Chinuch assumes that you do violate. He says, to me it's a davar pashut. You definitely violate. Moreover, you would be pasul eidus. That, I think, is a bigger chiddush. If you kidnap somebody, but there's no mechira, no imur, then you're pasul eidus. He goes on to say that maybe that would even be true if you were gonef ben Noach, or a non-Jew, or an Eved, or a Shivcha, even though the capital crime can only take place with Yisrael. All these, I think, are chidusha. There's no raya for any of them. But I think that the there are two things to be said about this, just one second. One thing is that, well, where does he get this from? So he says, because, after all, in regular Geneva, it's that way. But he's not suggesting that you violate lo signovu when you steal a shivcha and an eved, or when you steal a person, you kidnap him, but you don't, you just lock him in the basement, and you don't use him as an eved, you don't sell him. You don't violate lo signovu, you violate lo signov. So I think, again, that's another example of the link, the assumption that there is a, this is a capital crime, but the fact that it's called lo signov and is easily confused with lo signovu isn't a coincidence, but there really is a tremendous overlap. That's number one. But having said that, I think it's also possible that since this is a separate mechayiv and it is a lo signov part, that some of these elements, or you might be mechalik between different of the elements at least, but you know, you might say mechira, you know, maybe that's only required for the chiv misa, but lo signov be violating without it. But we're already applying it to an eved and a shivcha, as a, or an akum, never mind a benoach, but not just in Israel, then I think you have to ask yourself the question, at what point is this even lo signo? I'm not sure, but at least it's something to consider. Yeah.
Michael, your question?
I guess you have very just said it, but the reason to draw the line is if we're not a teamwork rather than a hero would be because it's a model.
Yeah. Very good. And I think this raises another question, important question about kidnapping. And that is, what is the relationship of the our two lavin, really, that go into this one kidnapping? By the Simchar Ben Karas Eben and the Lo Signo. And the question really is, you know, are these two halves, can they really stand on their own? Even when they're together, are they together because they're two halves? So this is an issue that comes up with regard to the question, which we're going to discuss later in the year. Which issue? Davar v'lo chatzi davar, when it comes to Eidos. That's an important issue, and we're going to leave it for that because that'll be later in the year when we get to that. So yeah, but you know, whether you consider this to be chatzi davar or not, and comparing it to, let's say, keifa geneva and tvicho mechira, or you know, kiddushin and nisuin, or kiddushin and nisuin and znus, is going to be very much linked to that question, and. We'll have to revisit it at that point. Okay. That's in terms of Gnevas Nefesh, both Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi and his critics, as well as this discussion in the Minchas Chinuch, I think, are important. Okay, let's now go back to the Perek, which we began already. Okay, so for what we read, what Tzvi read yesterday, was that the Mishnah discusses differences between Dalet Behei and Kefel. We raised the question whether that is just the Gzeres HaKasuv, whether it's the tip of the iceberg, whether or not Kefel and Dalet V'Hei share a single Mechayiv, just that, you know, Tegzeres HaKasuv, Dafka Shor V'Seh, etc. Or does the fact that we have this discrepancy in terms of Cheftas, does that reveal totally different Mechayivim, even though they're both Knossos? And we added to that the fact that even physically, there is a separate Maisa for Kefel, aside from the Geneva itself, whereas the Tzvicha Mechira of Dalet V'Hei, we might be talking about a completely different trigger in Mechayiv, and surely that could be important, that's one. And then in the Gemara itself, we already encountered the Machlokes, whether or not Toin Tanas Ganav which is subject to Kefel, is Toin Tanis Ganav also subject to Dalag Dehe? There could be a dual question, but it's probably both questions. Number one, how much of a Ganav is Toin Tanis Ganav? Is there a Maisa Gneva? Is he a Shame Ganav? That's one set of questions. Second question being, you know, can you split between Kefel on the one hand and Dalag Dehe on the other?
Okay.
So that's the first part of the Gemara. Now we want to continue to read on. Eli Stavsky, you want to read for us? Where we left off yesterday, on Samach Bey Samadeis. Shemidas Tashume Kefel Noheges. So basically, we have an exclusion of karka, avadim, shtaros, and hekdesh, but for a slightly different, each for a slightly different reason. What do I mean, Ali? Karka.
Karka
metaldel, right?
Avadim.
Hukshul karkos, which sounds like if it had been in its own right, maybe avadim would not have been excluded, but because of its status as karka. It's like a second level, it sounds like. We'll have to see whether that's really true or that's just in the order of the limud, but does it affect the quality of the exclusion? Right. That's, we don't know yet. What else? Which is important because we've been discussing, you know, to what extent hefsed mamon is a factor in Gneva and in Gzela, or whether the Maisa. Does the Maisa exist if it isn't a Chetza Shel Mamon, number one? And if it does, is it a Mechayiv in its own right, or do you need to have some Mamon as part of the Mechayiv? So the fact that something which is not Gufo Mamon, but which is a Chetza, is Mufka, the Geneva, that might be important. And then you have Hekdesh. What's the story with Hekdesh? Re'eu. And if you look at Tosis, Tosis on the top, on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosis asks why here the exclusion is based on Re'ehu, and why later on in the sugya, later on in the end of the parak and Ayin Vav, it's based on Vegunav Mibeis Ha'ish Velo Mibeis Hekdesh. So we'll get back to that. If you get a chance, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it right now, we'll spend time more later in the year, but at least you should already know this Tosis to look at, and the Chidush Agrach Alashas, a very famous piece. Reb Chaim had a different suggestion than Tosis how to answer this question. But either way, Re'eu below Hekdesh seems to be what kind of halacha? Although it might affect, might be affected by this question, what the limud is, whether it's the Gunav Mibeis Ha'ish, below Mibeis Hekdesh, or Re'eu Ksiv. Well, let's say it's Re'eu Ksiv. Tosa assumes that even the Gemara later on really is based on Re'eu Ksiv, and that the Gunav is just like a short, you know, Bechule, Bechule, the Gunav Mibeis, you know, Re'eu. But it's a bit of Re'eu. So what would that imply? Could be Xar Sakasu, right? Or?
Or that
excellent, right. We have to investigate that too, whether or not Re'eu Veloshel Hekdesh, where else does it apply? For example, a good place to investigate would be, especially in light of what we've been doing, a good place to look at what's one area of halacha we'd be particularly interested in. You said it very well, that we're, you know, Hekdesh's relationship to its own money is important, or whether we're concerned with Hekdesh's money in the same way that we're concerned with the Hedjot's money, right, is something to consider. So what would be, what other areas might we want to investigate? We're not going to do it right now, I'm just saying, even when you read the Gemara, we should always be on, you know, our antennae should always be up for what is the limud, is it the same kind of limud? What area? Particularly in Bava Kamma. Yeah, mazik. Let's say mazik, mamon hekdesh. Do we say re'eu veloshel hekdesh there? What are the parameters? When do we say it? When don't we say it? This ke mamon. So that's something that we're going to have to look into. Again, just like we talked about Re'eyu Velo Shalakum, right? It could be that there's Chafta Shel Mamon, there's no question about that. It's Shava Pruta, it could be $1 million. But this particular owner doesn't get the same kind of legal protection as reflected in Mazik, let's say, as a regular, you know, private owner, a pejo. So then whether Gezel or Gneva will apply will surely be significant as well. Okay. So we have a miut of Davar HaMetaltel, Hekesh, and Gufa Mamon. Of the three, of the four, and then Re'eyu. Of all of them, which one is, what about the one of Metaltel? That's the one we spoke about the least. What do you think about Metaltel? Davar HaMetaltel? How do you understand that? Also a question to raise. What question? Right, or? Yeah, so in other words, again, with Davar HaMetaltel, when we say this call of Prata Klal, we say to exclude Davar HaMetaltel, so one could have said that what it means is, well, one could have said the other way, which is that Tzigzeres HaKasuv, you know, that's what a call of Prat is. Call of Prat, you know, you look for the common denominator of the Pratim, and Davar HaMetaltel is included in that. For example, in a minute, we're going to read, Ellie's going to read in just a minute, some other suggestions of what the Mahaprat, you know, is limited to. For example, before we get there, Ellie? Okay. Right. Okay. Right. Right. Okay, so what do you think about this? This is as one of the Mashu B'Prat, you know, the Prat is Koveya for the Klal. So Davar Sheh, at least in Bale Chaim, Sheh Nevelos, Nevelosa Metame B'Maso Umaga. What do you think about that?
I think it seems like it's trying to find some kind of, like, sort of, you know, trying to test, you know, how much maybe like,
Yeah, it really seems like a Gzeres HaKasuv, and a very difficult Gzeres HaKasuv at that. Why is it a difficult Gzeres HaKasuv? I couldn't have said it better, exactly. You know, Ma'inyan Tuma Vatara, Eitzel Choshev Mishpat, Eitzel Geneva. What do we care whether it's Matamit Maso Matan or not? We Maso Mago. We're not worried about what's going to happen when you pick up the, you know, the Chepet Hagano. You know, and whether or not, you know, being in the state of being Vatara Atzmacha, you know, Laregel or something of that sort, or about to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you know, where we're going to make, you know, Siyagim Daraisa, you know, for all the Ganavim, you know, that they should be, you know, easily able to, you know, bring their korban, you know, without Tevila HaMikvah. I mean, it's more than peculiar. It seems like it's a Gzeres HaKasuv. And if one were to say Davar HaMetaltel and let's say Gufa Mamon are the equivalent of Nevela Mamasa Matan, then it certainly has nothing to do on the surface with Maisa Gzela and Maisa Gneva. Except that, having said that, I already made reference to this once earlier, a couple of weeks ago, when I was trying to demonstrate that Gneva and Gzela may transcend, especially the Kefel of Gneva, you know, may transcend Hefsed Mamon. So I suggested that this whole Shaka Vitaria points in that direction for the same reason. What does Tuma V'Tahara or the other spiritual opportunities that are available to this Korban, which we'll read in just a second, you know, Bechor and Korban, what does any of that have to do with Hefsed Mamon? There's no less of a Hefsed Mamon if something is or isn't Metame, is or isn't a Roy Lahakrava. But if we want to view Gneva and Gzela as some sort of, you know, in addition to being a Choshev Mishpat halacha, being a kind of a Yoredeya halacha, so then there are all sorts of ways to assess Cheftzas. So I think it's a very important Shakla Vitaria. But not one that has anything to do, put it this way, with the Maisa Gneva, maybe with the Mechayev of Gneva and Gzela, or more particularly the Mechayev of Kefel in Gneva and Gzela, but definitely not one which has anything to do with the physical Maisa Gneva and Gzela. So let's just read through the Shaka Vitaria a little more first, But this is, if Masha Bifrat is Kovea the Klal in Metaltel in the same way that it's here, then obviously Metaltel is Exeris Acosta. But what we're asking is, no, these other ones that don't come to mind so quickly, maybe they don't come to mind so quickly because we understand that at most they could be Exeris Acosta, and therefore in the Chabo El Chidusho. But Dabra Metaltel was the first thing that we derived from the Klal of Prat. Maybe, not coincidentally, maybe even before Avadim and before Shtaros, which is Ein Guf HaMamon, and especially the fact that it's before Avadim is interesting, because in terms of the Klal of Prat, none of these are Avadim. So, Davar HaMetaltel maybe is something that is logically more connected to Gneva, namely to the problem, where is the Maisa Gneva, where is the Maisa Gzela, simply where is the physical defined action here, although if that were to be the case, then you might ask the opposite question, namely, not why is it excluded, but why do you even need to exclude it? Because why do you need Exeris Acosta, Klal Prat to Klal to exclude Karka? Where's the Maisa Gzela? Who asked that question? I'm saying if you're going to go as far as saying the Davra Metaltel, which is the first response in the Gemara to exclude, isn't Exeris Acosta or type of Cheftza, but it has to do with the Maisa Gneva, Maisa Gzela itself. Right, so then you might want to go further and say, okay, that explains why it's the first one, but maybe it doesn't explain why it even needed to be the first one. Maybe you don't even need a limud for it. It's obvious. You're talking about something called Gnevo Gzela, and you can't do it with this Cheftza, so then... can't do it, you can't do it. It's not Exeris Acosta. Who asked that question? Exactly. Tosis asked that question right here. And what is Tosis' answer? In Tomar, Gneva, Bekarka, Hechi, Shaichi. In the middle of Tosis, or the end of Tosis, the Masl Yatsu. Tosis is saying, obviously, Tosis is assuming for a moment that there's a problem in Maisa Gneva or Maisa Gzela. And that he's saying, so why do you even need a limud? Okay, what's the answer? Right? You know what I mean? Kahi. Oh. So, yeah. So he has to come up with two hechitimsi, both of which we'll analyze, to find a case of Maisa Gneva. Does that now mean that Karka, the problem isn't Maisa Gneva? Davra Metaltel, or does the fact that usually it's an issue still come into play? That we're not sure of. So we have to get back to this. And we'll see whether everybody even agrees with the two answers that Tosis gives. Okay. We'll get back to this. So let's just read a little more of the Gemara first, just to establish all the other strange Havaminas. Go ahead, Kelly. Yeah, so now it's not Tuma anymore, but it's, again, the opportunity, something which is Karev Legabe Mizbeach, which, again, from a regular Choshen Mishpat point of view, just, it makes no sense. Okay, go ahead. Because of Rachmana. Same idea. The Gemara says Kol Ribuya. But again, the Gemara is clinging hard to these chilukim. Okay, whatever, even, you know, Tuma Bevesa Bliya. Wow. Okay. Go ahead. Let's do a little more. Okay, this is not our topic. Now, this is just as used as an example. Go ahead, Omri. Bakol is a klal, and kol is a ribuy. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
more other events. We saw that the Pi offered our present national Slavic Press, the best and important one on the Pi Gabri.
Kol Rapesh Alamali. Okay. Okay, it's just, let's stop with the, let's pretend that we stopped right before Toin Tana's Gana Dabe. So basically, let's say we got, for the moment, till Dabar Sheinu Masuya. So basically, the Gemara Lamaskana rejects all of the other distinctions, whether it's, you know, Dabar Sheomed Lahakrava, Bakora, Karival Mizbeach, Matamim Mago Masa. The Gemara rejects all those things, thankfully. But one thing the Gemara does retain, namely, which also is interesting. Okay, Avadim, right. So number one, very good. Number one, Karka Avadim Shtaros is retained, but now in a slightly different way. How is it different now?
Originally, we were assuming that Avadim excluded
the Ukshel Karkaos.
And
so that's important, right? What's the difference between, is it Betoras Karka or in its own right? That's correct. What else? And then one other thing, just a striking thing, Lamaskana, which we're not going to discuss right now, but...
The
Dov Shenu Mesu has to be Dov Mesu. Right. Okay, there's a different girsa in the Gemara. Some have the girsa of... some of the opposite gear, so lasuye davar shenu mesuyam. If it's lasuye davar shenu mesuyam, the strange thing would be that you need a limud. But the more mainstream view is that davar shenu mesuyam is not subject to kefel, and that seems to be that's the holdover for all these other chidushim, and it is a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Again, Ali? I mean, I think it's a chiddush. You agree, or that davar shenu mesuyam is excluded from kefel? Why? Right, again, what difference does it make whether it's Mesuyam or Eina Mesuyam? At the end of the day, it's a Bar Shovi, it's more than a Pruta, it belongs to somebody it's Yotze B'Dayanim, or to somebody, were to be Mazik, a Dabar Sheinu Mesuyam, you pay for it. So, if that's true, then why, when it comes to Kefel and Geneva, all of a sudden, Dabar Sheinu Mesuyam doesn't have enough yichus to qualify for Geneva. That's what I mean by being kind of the remnant of all these other havas, all these other strange havas amina, and we still need to understand what it is. Of course, partially we need to understand what Dabar Sheinu Mesuyam means, how to define it. That's not going to be for right now. First, we're going to dig through a little bit of Karka and a little bit of Avadim and Shtaros, not the whole story, but part of them. Then we'll turn our attention briefly to Dabar Sheinu Mesuyam. But I think it's going to be clear. It's clear already what our approach is going to be, possibly at least. Our initial approach is going to suggest that Kefel is a Knas, and Kefel certainly focuses on the aspect of Gneva that transcends Chosha Mishpad. And for that reason, it has to be, a Dabar Chashuv, to be considered a Maisa, Gneva, more of a transgression, a personal infraction, invading the person and his kinyanim. It has to be a chepetz of a certain quality, of a certain stature. And this is going to, again, accent and reinforce the idea that at least Kefel in Gneva is more than a kosher mishpat. But we'll get to the details when we get to them. So far, we have the Havaminas, we have the Maskan of Dabar Sheinu Mesuyam leading this direction, but more important, we have the Halacha of Karka, Avadim, Shtaros, and to a lesser extent, Hekdesh, and we're going to deal with that first. So let's start with Karka. So as we already noted, in the case of Karka, it appears that unlike Avadim and Shtaros and Hekdesh, that there is either something to commend even further the exclusion of karka, or to make it problematic that we even need an exclusion, namely, where's the maisa gneva or the maisa gzela in karka? And just another way to highlight this is to say the following. This sugya is memait karka vadim shtaros from Kefel. And in parallel, Eli, we have some other Gemaras about in the world of Gneva and Gzela that are similar. Namely? Well, even before we get this, so in the world of Gneva and Gzela itself, we have this Mishnah and this Gemara, whether it's from Klal Prat or Ribui Umiyut, that excludes Karka, Vadim, Shtaros, Hekdesh from Kefel. It's not clear from the Gemara that it's excluded from the Lav. It's not clear that it's excluded from Ashava. It's clear that it's excluded from Kefel. We're trying to understand what the nature of the exclusion is, and that, in turn, should help us understand the scope of the exclusion. Right? So that's one. Then you have another sugya, even in the world of Gnevo Gzela. Ellie? The what? By... Okay, I mean, the question is whether this is the same sugya or not. The Shvuah of Toin Tanis Ganoth, is that the same sugya as the exclusion of Kefel? That's partly the question whether or not, you know, these two psukim and Kala Prats merge into one or not. That is very important. Okay. But again, it's with regard to Kefel, certainly. What about other aspects of Gzela? Harei Shochal Lefanecha. And that's the Gemara later on. Right, in the end of Agozel, did you see it? Okay, the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin. We don't have to read it right now. Maybe we'll hold off on reading it for the moment. But the Gemara that says, Karka, what's the phrase there? Karka and Gzela. The Gemara doesn't say that here. The Gemara says that in the context of Gzela, and with regard to the question of whether or not you can say, Harei Shol Kal Lefanecha. What do you mean by Harei? What's the case of Harei Shol Kal Lefanecha? What?
Where does it say there?
Doesn't say the words Karkin and Exalus? Oh, okay. Yeah, Rashi says Karkin and Exalus. Okay. Right. Horatio Cholofanecha depends on Karka. I apologize, it doesn't say the words Karkin and Exalus, but depends on Karka in an Exalus, meaning. Because Karkin and Exalus, therefore you could say, even about Shatfa Nahar, etc., Harei Shachal Lefanecha, and that's based on, again, Limudim, that are Mimait, Avadim, Karka, and Shtaros. Correct? Okay. We'll go into the details of that Gemara later on. Then there's another Gemara, Gemara in Shavuos. What's that Gemara about? Shavuos HaBikadon, very good. The Gemara there is about, that's the parak about Shavuos HaBikadon, at the fifth parak of Shavuos. The Gemara there wants to know, Mashbia Edei Karka Mahu. Let's say you're Mashbia Edei Karka, you know, you impose upon him the Shavuah, you did not suppress this guy's land. And he says, absolutely not. And it turns out that he's a liar. What about L'inyan Chomesh and L'inyan Karban Shavuah, etc.? That's the Sugya in Shavuos, Taflamed Zion. On the base, and the Gemara there seems to link it up with the Gemara on Kuf Yud Zayin in Bava Kama. Does the Gemara there say the language of? I forgot to bring it. Does the Gemara there say the words Karkin and Exalus in Shavuos Lamed Zayin on the base? No, but the Gemara links it to exactly the Shakla Vitaria of Kuf Yud Zayin. In fact, we'll have to get back to it. But that was Rav Chaim's Raya. Rav Chaim was of the opinion that the question is how to evaluate Shavuos HaBikadon. Shavuos HaBikadon is an interesting, it's an interesting hybrid, as is Shavuos HaEdus. You have a kind of a gazel, but it's a gazel by means of kfira u shvua. So is it primarily a din in gazel, or is it primarily a din in kfira u shvua? In other words, is it shvuas sheker Shem Mafsido v'gozal mimenu mamon, or is it Maisa Gzela b'derech dibor kfira u'shvua? Which is the proper emphasis, and there could be nafkamina. So Mipia Shmua, and Rav is saying the name of Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim thought were the best rayas that Shavuos HaBikoron the Mechayev is Gzela and not Shavuos Sheker, is the fact that the Gemara proves that Mashbia Eide Sheker is not Chayev Shavuos HaBikoron from the Limudim of Karkein and Gzelas of Harei Shochal Panecha, that he links those two sugas together. But if you look carefully, we'll do this when we go through each one very, when we sum it all up. But if you look at Rashi and the Rambam, it's not such a simple matter. If you look at Rashi and the Rambam and that sugya, it's not not such a simple matter. Does somebody have it open? I think you have it there, Noah? Yeah, go ahead. Mashbiya de Karka. Lamed Zayin Rebeis, right? You have it or not?
Right.
Mashbiya de Karka depends on the Machlokas Rabbi Elazar. Little louder. Midam Rabbi Yochanan. So basically, the Gemara says that whether Mashbiya Eide Karka will be Chayiv for Shavuos HaPikadon depends on the Machlokas whether or not. Again, I'm just adding the words Karkin and Exelis, but the Machlokas of Horatio Chalafanecha regarding Gezel Karka. Okay, so there are essentially three applications that we know of where we have a discussion of Limudim, or maybe four, Ellie's quite correct, about Toin Tanis Ganef. But Toin Tanis Ganef is linked to the question of Geneva itself, or that's, let's say, one group, let's say, and that's regarding Kefel. And then you have the other two, which are connected. One specifically, Hareshul Chalafanecha, one could call that the Karkein and Gzelas issue, or the Chiyuve Gzela issue, if you want to call it that. Nema Yuchayev Vachrayas, when you steal something and something happens to the field, not something that you did. You stole the field and then had then an earthquake took place, or a flood. Shafana, or a flood. So you didn't do anything. It would have happened anyway. Is it in your Rishus, Le'inyan Onsim, Le'inyan Achrayas? Do you have Kinyane Gzela Le'inyan Achrayas? Karka Nigzelas or Einan Nigzelas? That's a discussion, Kufin Zayin. And the extension of that is brought in the Gemara in Shavuos to Shavuos HaPikado, which, as I mentioned, Reb Chaim thought, what does Rashi say about the link, by the way? You have it? When it says, Lema the Plukta de Rabbi Lazar the. I think there's an important Rashi there, and maybe it's different Dibra Maska. Maybe we can find it right away. If you don't, go back to it.
Okay.
You have it?
In Chayavin Afiras Shibud Karkos?
No. That's an important sugya, but not for now. It says it's an issue of Karkin Exeles. Karka and Exelis, right? And Exelis is our
name.
Right, go ahead. And what's that have to do with Shavuos HaPikadon?
That's standard.
I think Rashi says.
Miot Shtoras in Kufan Norman, Shainon Ella Elias.
No, that's something else. Okay, we'll look at it.
That's all on.
I think Rashi says in Shavuos is not that Karkin and Exelis directly is Koveya this question, but indirectly. You see from the machlokas of Karkin and Gzelest, what is referred to in the parsha of Gzela, which is linked, the Heshav Sag Gzela Shekot Shavuos HaPikadon, and as such, that proves that the Shavuos HaPikadon part also has the same miyute. In other words, I think Rashi goes out of his way to avoid what Reb Chaim concluded. Okay, we'll hold off on that for now. Either way, so you have three applications of the issue of Karka and Gzela in the Gemara. Okay, Kefel, Achrayas, and Shavuos HaPikadon. So far. That still doesn't tell us whether or not there's an Iser, Gzela, or Geneva. What about Chiyuv Keren? What about Hashava? Right? It doesn't tell us anything about that. We only have those three. Moreover, what Eli started saying before I asked him to speak first in Hilchos Geneva, was that this whole discussion in the Gemara here needs to be seen against a broader framework, namely, which you started saying before, I just cut you off. I said, let's speak specifically about Geneva, Gzela, the world of Geneva, Gzela first. Before that, you were about to say that this halacha is part of another Mishnah, right? Another Mishnah, another group of halachas. Not Geneva and Gzela. Karka, Vodim, and Metalpan. I'm sure you were saying that, right? Shavua, what else? Ein nishboi mala karkos, ala vode mala shtaros. What else? How do you know that ein nishboi mala karkos, ala vode mala shtaros? Where does it say that? A Mishnah. Right, which Mishnah? Mishnah in two places.
Bamitzi
and Shur. Bamitzi and Nun Vav Amin Aleph. Right? Which is mostly interested in the context of, well, what's Bamitzi and Nun Vav about? Oh, no. And what's the Shavuos about? Mostly about Shavua. So the Mishnah says, Ein Nishboim, who has the Mishnah open? Okay, seems to be. Okay. Ein Nishboim. Yeah, start from the beginning. Yeah, sure. Definitely. Okay, so basically you have the Mishnah there about Onah, you have Shavua, and you have Shomrim together with Chiyuvei Kefa. Correct? All in the same Mishnah in Shavuos and in Hazav in Bav Metzia. Right? So there, if we're talking about Karka, Eli, in terms of the question that we were asking, which is, Karka is excluded because there's no Maisa Geneva, no Maisa Gzela, or it's a kind of an official, formal Hafka? And how Mufka is it? So it's suggestive. It's not, again, we started by what we have on the daf, and then Haresha Chalafanecha, Shavuos HaPikadon, those are all contexts of Geneva Ugezela, at least. But now, the fact is that the Mishnah does incorporate the din of Kefel together with Onah and Shavua and Shmira. So at least it's worth commenting about. Namely, the general legal status of Avadim, Shtaros, and Karkos. In other words, when it comes to this, to say it clearly, when it comes to Onah, it's not obvious why Ein Onah le Karkos. It's not so obvious. We discussed it a little last year, we'll mention it again for a second. When it comes to Shmira, again, it's not so obvious why Ein Shmira le Karkos. And it's certainly not obvious why Ein Shavua le Karkos. So, and nonetheless, we say all of these things. So if the Mishnah is to be understood as, you know, by sharing company with Onah and Shmira and Shavua, we should understand that the problem of Geneva and Gzela is similar. It's a Xeris HaKasu that excludes a certain kind of chayfes. These chafatsim have slightly different status vis-a-vis a number of halachos. Right? They're not considered the regular dinei mamonis, and we can explain it in that way. In other words, the karka leola mamadets, right? And that determines that, let's say, a value when it comes to karka is always difficult, you know, to play. We explained this last year with regard to ona, right? Ain't ona lekarkos, according to some rishonim, because ona is about pricing. You can't really price karka. Why? Because tomorrow, you know, there could be a real estate boom or bust, and it'll have a completely different price. Of course, in Metaltlin, we don't really care what its price is going to be tomorrow or what it was yesterday. But that could be because, in the case of Metaltlin, by definition, we narrow our focus. Ein lehekdesh shalom mekom v'shaita. Because Metaltlin, in theory, could be here one day and gone tomorrow. So the only way that we can assess it, and the proper way to assess it, is in terms of the here and now. But karka le'olam ha'mades, so its past is important, its future is something we can anticipate, and therefore, even in terms of shovi, maybe it's not fair to, it's too narrow to focus on its present value. So maybe that's why, ein ono lekarkos, and when it comes to geneva, and when it comes to, in general, that has to do with kefel, that has to do maybe with shmira, a little less so maybe with Shavua, but the point is, karka is just a different kind of a commodity. Avadim hukshu lekarkos, okay, and shtar ingufo mamon. But who adin l'din gneiva, even if it was not a problem of maisa gneiva or maisa gzela, just it's a kefal halacha, in which case it really might just be a kefal halacha. Therefore, the fact that it also applies to Reshul Chalafanecha might be a separate din, might not even be the same din as Kefel. Or this expanded halacha also applies to Chiyuv Akrayas. Right? And to Shavuos HaPikadon. It's hard to know whether we're dealing with three different halachos, two different halachos, probably two, since there are different two sets of psukim. So that would be an approach. And the fact is that even in Ona and Shmira and Shua, if we were to take it... you know, from that point of view, we might say not only does its bedfellows, Shavua, Shmira, Ona, establish that we're dealing with a formal, you know, exclusion of some sort, Xeris HaKasav, and possibly one based on the stature of Karka more generally. It also, these bedfellows may also be a model to dictate that it's not a total exclusion either. I mean, it's not that Karka's Mufka Lagamri. The Parshas Geneva or Gezela. Number one, because it doesn't have to be anymore if it isn't about the Maisa. But number two, just look at the other cases. We saw last year, right, that Ona, according to some Rishonim, does apply to Karka. Machlokes or Rishonim. Right, some Rishonim say not at all, possibly the Rif of the Rambam. And other Rishonim say double the price. That's toes. Others still say a third instead of a shtus, right? She's just a Ramban. Meaning there are Rishonim who actually, the Ramban is the best example of it, who for whom ein ono lekarkos seems to be a bit of a misnomer. There's a lot more ono than you would think. Gemara has a safek about bitul mekach. So that's on the ona level. When it comes to a shavua, also not as simple as it looks. Why do I say that? Well, Tosfos here already asked the question. Elichai, what's the question?
I have two questions. Start with the question of how you could have
in Toin Tanis Ganav. How can you have Toin Tanis Ganav Kefel excluded from Karka? Or what do you need a limud for? Why not just say Ein Nishvain the Karkos? What's also the answer?
First, I think maybe it's Avar.
Kafatz v'Nishva. Then they say, well, that doesn't qualify for Toin Tanis Ganav. So it's not going to help you for that question. So then you have to give the other answer, which is Gilgul Shua. But at least Tosas already revealed, Tos Alatar already reveals that when we say Einish Void, Ala Karkos, it's not quite as exclusionary as it might seem. There are at least two very prominent exceptions. Kafatz V'nishba, maybe not helping you for Tzorintat Ezgana, but Kafatz V'nishba and Gilgul Shua. In both cases, basically there is a Chalos Shvua Ala Karka. There's just not a, how would you say it, Anichai? There's just not a chiyuv shvua lakarka. It can't be a mechayev shvua lakarka. And therefore, if it's kafatz v'nishba, just that in Torah Tan is gone, if you need a shvua hamechuyeves, not just a chalos shvua, apparently. But chalos shvua exists, and Gilgul is kind of an interesting in-between. The mechayev isn't independent. The question is it part of some other Chafzashol Shavua as well, or all you've supplied is some other Mechayev? Either way, Gilgul apparently could work for Tointan Zgana. So it is a Chafzashol Chiyuv Shavua, as a Chafzashol Shavua, even if it isn't a Mechayev of the Shavua, in a way. Okay. But my point is that Einish Boim Ala Karkos, just like Eino Na Ala Karkos, turns out to be a little more complicated than we thought. What about Ein Shmira Ala Karkos?
The Mishnah says Ein Shmira Ala Karkos, just like the Shurachim and Nishma.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay. The Tosos thinks that there's basically Ein Shmira Ala Karkos because it's where you're going to pay.
Where does it come up?
The
famous Shita Sarambam, Perik Bey Sokol Schira Salacha Gimel, where the Rambam says that if you have Avadim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Shurachim is Pasha Baham, you're going to be chayiv. Ram says kasposhe as kamazik. So does that mean that it's an exception to the rule and there is shmira of the karkos? That depends. I already alluded to it earlier in the year. Depends how you understand the Rambam's view of poshe kamazik. If poshe kamazik really means that it's mazik, meaning given the context and everything, this is real mazik, so then, no, it's not really a proof of anything. But if you see Poshea Kimazik as being kind of a Melitza Bialma, and it's a way of explaining that this is a different Mechayev, there are different ways of being Mechayev Shomer. We'll discuss this more fully. You can Mechayev Shomer because he's an insurance company, and he accepted upon himself a certain level of Shmira. You can be Mechayev Shomer because his choser shmira, his negligence, is mechayev him. That's what the Rama meant when he said poshe is kamazik. He don't really mean poshe is kamazik, because then he should be subject to all the questions that the Rabbit asks. Should be how can it be a patur balavimo, and so on. And we'll get to it. So the other way to explain the Rambam is the Rambam just meant to say that the Mechayev here isn't his Achrayus, the Mechayev here is his Choser Shmir. In which case, when you're involved in Choser Shmir, you can be Chayev, Betoris, Shomer, in Avadim, Karkos, and Shtaro. Anybody have it open? The Perek Beis Halacha Gimel guy.
You're releasing Poshah Hashem by Avadim, Chiyos, and Chayev, the Shalom. Shaino Pati by Avadim, Karkos, Shtaros, Elam, Yidin, Gineva, Aveda, Nisa, Chiyos, the Hen.
Again, it's important for us. Elam, Yidin, Gneva,
Aveda, Umiso, Koyotzeve.
Yeah.
Shemhaya Shomer Chinam, Ala Tatalin, the Nidnivu, Bo Avdu, Yishava, the Avadim Karkos, Shtaras, Pater, Mishvu. Continue?
Yeah.
Chain, Imhaya Shomer Sakhar, Shemashalim, Gneva, the Aveda, the Matatalin, Pater, Milashalim, the Eva.
I mean, all the regular Chiyuve, Shomrim, your Pater. Go ahead. Yeah. So that's a question. Go ahead.
Within Emes Suzer, Levinim,
the Levinim, right. The Chain Roy. Rama's saying, you know, again, I said well. Okay, that's fine. There may be other examples of this as well. This is obviously the most dramatic one. So my point is, if we're talking about Karka being Potter Mikefel, and it shares Ona, Shvua, Shmira, in Shvuos, and in Bamatzia, and in those cases, at least according to some Rishonim, there are exceptions. Depends how you understand the exceptions, obviously. The exceptions can be just very exceptional and say nothing about the rule. Or perhaps not. The Poshek Kamazik is a very good example, two perspectives. Again, how Mechudash is Gilgal and Kafetz V'Nishba. How Mechudash is the double in Ona'a, or even the third of the Ramban, as we discussed a little bit last year. It could be that they're not really exceptions to Ona'a. They're really a way of defining Mekach Tos. Mekach Tos is not a din in Ona'a, it's a din in Mekach Tos. In which case, Eino no le karkos, ever, ever, ever. But the exceptions are just not within Ona. They're exceptions that are Mekartos. The Ramban, of course, we discussed this last year, in his Perush on Torah, says explicitly that when it comes to Ona, there's an Iser Ona of the karkos. So I think it's consistent with Ramban and Mochamos about the Shear of a third. The tour is Mistapek. There are Rishonim clearly who think that that there's no Yisro Nala Karkos at all. So similarly, what about Gneva? Is there an Yisro Gneva or an Yisro Gzela Bekarka? Again, if there's no Maisa Gneva, Maisa Gzela, it would be hard to say that there was an Yisro Gneva or Gzela. But let's assume we could have a Maisa Gneva or Gzela. So the exclusion here, is it from the Yisro or from the Dinim? And if from the dinim only, then again, where do you draw the line? Only the three things that we know from the Gemara, Kefel, Haresho Chalafanecha, Chiyuvim, and Shuas Abikadon, or anything more? For example, what about Hashava? Okay. Right, Noah has a Raibid for Hashava that we still have to get back to. Is there a Chiv Hashava? The Midchas Chinuch wonders, Kedarko, maybe there should be Malkus, Dafka in Avodim, Shtaros, and Karkos. Because he assumes it's no Hashava, right? And or at least if you destroy the Chayfetz. So you can't say Resha Kalafanecha. So it's not Nitam, not Nita Klase, it's not Nitam Li Shavon. Maybe Dafka Avonim Shars and Karkos, you should get Malkus. Wow. He says, you know, I have to admit, he says, the Rambam doesn't say this anymore. Okay. But it's an interesting question. Okay. So this is very, very, these are important issues. So let's move back a moment. Before we get to hardcore Gzela, let's look at two other issues. Very briefly. Go ahead and stop in a minute. But before we get to Lo Sigzol and Lo Signovu, we should speak a little bit, just for a second, about Lo Sachmod, and then about Hasagas Gvul. So with regard to Lo Sachmod, we know the issue, but in the Aseres HaDibros, Losachmod is applied to Karka. So the question, of course, depends on what the nature of Losachmod is, as we discussed. If you say that Chimud is, you know, something has to do, it's more of a Behafta L'Racha Kamocha, or a, you know, Sameach Bechelko, you know, one of those Hilchos Deos type halachos, a value halacha, more than it has anything to do with Gneva and Gezela, and the fact that it will apply to Karka is not a problem at all. If it wouldn't apply to Karka, it would be shocking. How can it not apply to Karka? You pass this guy's estate, you really want it badly, you start your scheming and your plotting and you're manipulating, right? How could that be? How could you exclude Karka from that? So that's not going to be a problem at all. If, on the other hand, it is a kind of a gazelle, so I think there are two things. Number one, if we say that it's Machsheves Zela, and that's a Mechayev in its own right, so maybe one can argue, if one said the problem of Gezel Karka is that it's lacking as a Maisa. But Machsheves Zela, assuming it wasn't just a Siag, you know, to the Maisa, but It's also in its own right. Los Nachman says even Machsheva's Gzela is also. But not as a Hilchus Deos thing. As a Hilchus Gzela halakha. So then you might say, ironically, well, on the Machsheva side, there's no difference between Karka and the Talpul. But that's only if you assume that the problem in the Maisa is, in the actual Gzela, is the Maisa itself. So anyways, these are things to think about. The Netziv, in his Hamikdavar, speaks about this in the Aseres HaDibros. How can it be that Karka and Gzelas, etc., and yet Los Achmod applies to Karka? But again, if the exclusion is limited to Kefel, or to Aresha Kalafanecha, or to Shvus HaPikadon, and there really isn't Iser Geneva or Gzela, then there's no question to begin with. Yeah. Okay. So that's Los Achmod. We don't want to go more into that. It's been said. Yeah. Right, I'm saying it's, if you assume it's Machsheva's Gzela, but not as a Siag. That's why I added the words.
Okay.
But not as a Siag. Meaning if it's a Siag, Doraisa, oh, you think about it, you'll do it. Gzela and Gneva, they're so horrible that we're even worried to Siag it in the Torah. And you're right, I mean, how can it be a Siag if you can't do it? But if it's, you know, it's a horrible crime, and even thinking about it is horrible. But not because of you know, Hilchus Deos, because of Hilchus Gzela.
But kind of part of Machsheva's Gzela as a problem per se, be the fact that you think it could be yours.
That you
have these visions of it being yours. If practically anything sells, then you really have that.
No, I'm assuming that Machsheva's Gzela means, you know, wanting to steal it is a problem. And I think in theory that could be divorced from actually. I'm not sure, but I think so. But not if it's a siyah. Not I would agree. What about Asagas Gvol? Yeah.
And the realm says in Ephraim's been in a Mazik Karka, been a Mazik Talpin. So is that only in the Zikin, or can that be expanded to include other things within, such as Geneva, such as.
Well, it isn't true in Geneva, so.
So, if we're
going to
say.
Well, that's on the Eastern level, but. No, what Rambam says there, he means very specifically about Mazik. If you're Mazik Karka, you're Kai. If you're Mazik Karka in the Hilchos Niske Mamon sense, let's say you take your tractor and you plow up his crops. Or you take your axe and you chop up his field. Right? In Niske Mamon, there's no difference between Karka and the Talmud. And therefore, Poshea is Kamazik. I was only raising the question before, what does it really mean when you say Poshea is Kamazik? If you really mean Kamazik, then it's not an example of an echo of Karka in Shmira. It just means that that aspect is not Shmira. It's, given the context, it really is Mazik. It's like, if you want to interpret the other way, what the Ram really meant was, not that this is Mazik, but that Koser Shmira is a Mechayiv in Shmira in Shomrim too. There are two Mechayiv in Shmira. One is Achrayas, and the other one is Choser Shmira. The Choser Shmira part, which is a Dinin Schiros, that part of Shmira applies, so it isn't really, it's a Melitza, it's a Mashal to Mazik. It isn't really Mazik. But we're not Geneva is a different story, because we have a Kzeres HaKasa of the Geneva.
Yeah, right.
At least about Kefel, we don't know. But we're wondering about, what about the Iser, and what about the Karen? That's really what we're discussing here. So what about Hasagas Gavul? I'm going to stop here in a minute, but let me just say the following about Asagas Gvul. If we don't get to it in the next few minutes, just look up Asagas Gvul, you know, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph in the Rambam, and say for Mitzvah Resh Mem Vav, and just very briefly the Michas Chinuch also, if you can. I think Simon, it's Mitzvah rather, Lamed Vav. Asagas Gvul is a strange halacha. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Clearly it applies to Karka. The question is whether Asagas Gvul has anything to do with Gzela or not. We know that Asagas Gvul is limited based on the Pasuk and the Chazal, right, flesh out the Pasuk, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. The question that we might want to ask is, what kind of halacha is it? Is it a halacha in Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Or Shem Eretz Yisrael? Is it a Din in Eretz Yisrael? Nachlas Eretz Yisrael? Or is it an expanded din of Gezel? The special din of Gezel, Mokom Eretz Yisrael. Put very simply, you know, if you were the Rambam writing this halakha, where would you put it? all things being equal, would you put this halakha in Sefer Zrayim? And then you have to go around the room and ask Alan and Oren and Dov and Ariel and all the. I'm just joking. But the Zrayim, would it be in Zrayim? Is it Din Ktushas Aretz? Or, did I get everybody this time? Or would you put it where the Rambam put it? Of course, even where the Rambam put it is interesting in what way, Tzvi? Where did the Rambam put it? Excellent. He put it in Hilchos Geneva, not in the middle, but in the end, towards the end, Perek Zayin. What's so interesting about that? Where would you have put it? Even if you were putting it in in the Geneva Gzela orbit, where would you have put it? Adam. I agree. Why? Yeah, one would think it looks a lot more like Gzela than Geneva. The Rambam put it in Hilchos Geneva. But in theory, one could have put Asagas Gvul in Sefer Zrayim. Doesn't who say it? He does. We're going to discuss that. But he still put it in Hilchos Geneva. And by the way, he says that in Hilchos Geneva. But if you read Sefer Mitzvot, it doesn't sound that way. I think Rambam changed his mind.
Based on his formulation, he could have. I mean, like, he could have put it in here in Geneva or Zayla, maybe came first.
Like, maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe. But again, Sefer Mitzvot, it doesn't sound that way. And the Sifrei doesn't sound that way. What do you actually violate? According to the Sifrei. He does. And yet he says those things.
Right.
Strange. And it's between Gozel, Gezel, and Osher. So I'll explain what I think he means by it. But and again, it could be that it's just loose formulations, but you know, I don't think so. But I do. You're absolutely right. In Yana Chazaka, he says that it's Beseisar, it's Kneiband, and Becholzak and Parhesio, that it's Exeil. That's what Sefer Chinuch says as well. The Smag already read that into the Sifrei. It's fascinating. When the Smag quotes the Sifrei in Choftim, he quotes it as if the Sifrei says that already. The Sifrei didn't say that. The Sifrei says Exeil. I think the Smag read the Sifrei through the lens of the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva. They just read it right in. Amazing. Okay. But let me go back for a second. Before we talk about that's the Lo Signo part, or the Signovo part. Right? Before we even get to that, in Eretz Yisrael, it's limited to Asagas Bul. So what I'm suggesting is, one could have read the Pasuk in the Torah as saying, this has nothing to do with our topic. Again, if we're learning Zrayim, this is relevant. And if we're learning Geneva Gzela right now, keep it out. In the Parsha itself, in Shoftim, I'm really going to stop in 60 seconds, you just can't know what it's about. It's one of those Parshios, what is it, Yud Tes, about it actually, Yud Tes Yud Daled? By the way, if I don't get tomorrow, again, look at the Sefer Mitzvot. Also look at the Tur, just the language, just take 2 minutes. Shinayin Vav, the way the Tur formulates it. And the Prisha and the Sma in Shulchan Aruch Shinayin Vav also. Just to fill in the picture. In Shoftim, Asagas Gvul, you know, I mean, the Mefarshim at the field day, trying to figure this out. What precedes it is you have the dinim of Ari Miklat and Shogeg. The Yeish Sone Lareo Va'arav Lo B'Kamala B'Ko Nefesh V'Meis V'Nasal Akasa Arim Ha'el V'Sholchu Zikne Ir V'Lakchu Oso Misham V'Nasal B'Yad Gol Adam V'Meis Lo Sochos Ein Chalav B'Yart Adam Anaki B'Yisrael V'Tov Lo Imach. And then Lo Sasik Vul Reyacha Asher Gavlu Rishonim V'Nachal Aska Asher Tinchal Ba'aretz Asher Hashem Lakecha Nasei Nachal Rishta. Doesn't seem to have anything to do with what preceded it. And then, doesn't seem to have anything to do with what follows it. Lo yakum ein achad b'isha kol avonu kol chatas, b'kol chet asher yachata, al pi shnei edim, o al pi shlosha edim yakum davar, and so on. B'darsho hashoftim heitev, asisimo kasha zamam. What's losasig gvul re'eyu doing in the middle of all that? Very challenging. I don't have a good answer. I mean, again, the Mefarshim, look at the Mefarshim. They all struggle to try to figure it out. They have different suggestions, but it remains very, very challenging. From the Parsha itself, you can't tell whether this is a Gzela Halacha, or it's a Din of Yerusha. The Sifrei, there are two Sifreis. One Sifrei says, Yachal, no, sorry, not Yachal. Let's quote it from Rashi. Again, Yud Tes, Yud Dalet. Just quote this and it will stop. Lo Sasigvul. This is a quote of the Sifrei. Halo Kvar Nemar Lo Sigzol. Ma Talmud Lomar Lo Sasig. Limei De La Oka Tchum Kaveros Shomer B'Shnei Lavin. Yochal Af B'Chutz Laretz. Talmud Lomar Ben Achaloscha Asher Tinchal. Be'eretz Yisrael Lomar B'Shnei Lavin. B'Chutz Laretz Eina Ober Elim Yishum Lo Sigzol. That's a quote of the Sifrei. Very fascinating. From the beginning of the Sifrei, one could have said, Sifrei is just asking, why do you need to, why does it seem like the Easter is based on Lo Sasa Gvul? Isn't it Gezel? Right? The answer is, in Eretz Yisrael, Lavar Lo Bishnai. But it sounds a little more than that. It sounds like what the Sifrei is really asking is, why do you need this mechayiv at all? We already know it. Lo sasig gvul is duplicated by lo sigzol. Sounds like the Sifrei is really saying that lo sasig gvul is nothing but a form of gezel. And, of course, the Sifrei is assuming, at least on the Iser level, that the Iser gzela applies to karka. And then the answer is lavar lebishnayim. And even in the answer, one would have thought, well, maybe the answer is from the perspective of Gezel, you have Lo Sigzal. But there's another issue here, and that is an issue about Eretz Yisrael, about challenging the Gorelos, about undermining people's Yerusha V'Nachla of Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't sound like that in the Sifrei either, because look the way it says it. Again, HaKlo Kvar Ne'amar, sounds like it's one Mechai Lo Sigzal. Mat Tamar Lo Sasik, Limit Al Oka Tchum Chaber Shomer V'Shnei Lavin. Yachal af b'chutz laretz. The yachal af b'chutz laretz is after the Sifrei already tells you the answer is to violate twice. It sounds like the Havamina was that this that karka not only has one Iser Gezel, but two. And therefore that should apply bein baretz, bein b'chutz laretz. It's worse to steal karka than it is to steal metaltalin. Why? Well, it's more difficult to understand how it's stealing because karka didn't exhale, as some might think. But on the other hand, in a way, it's a more heinous crime. Taking away people's karka, wherever it is. Yachal afilu b'chutz laretz, but it's a gezel halacha. Talmud lomar, it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. So the best we could do for the Sifrei, if you want to read it, is say the kamash malan is, if it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, it's because the halacha of l'sasig gvul really is a din in Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Not in gezel at all. Now the truth is that the Sifrei has another line where they say that Lo Sasig Gvul applies to the Gvulos of the Shvatim. Each Shevet received, you know, its particular portion, and if you try to, you know, cheat, so that's Lo Sasig Gvul. The Ramban quotes that Sifrei, and the Ramban himself says that it sounds like the Psukim are talking about an Eretz Yisrael halacha. I keep closing it. I have to keep opening it again. Ramban here. Azhara shalei shane tkuma chaluka shechilko anasiyim es ha'aretz l'shvatim oli yachid mehem. Okay, now our shagav lu rishonim. Hey, Melazar, ha'koin v'yoshua b'nun v'nasiy ha'matas. L'kach hizki v'nachloscha asher tinchal. The tam ha'mitzah zos, in the tam he integrates a little bit of gazel. Shalo yachshov adam lomar ein chelko asher nasolov sadeh Shavar rather kamo chelik kaveri. Kito acholkim. Oshi yotzi b'liv olav ala goralos. Lo yezeh be'en of gezel klal. He might not think it's gezel because he just thinks the whole thing was not fair to begin with. Alkein tziva b'kan shelo yachlok adam ala chaluka ahiv ala yishana ha'gvulin lo b'seser v'lo b'galui b'zumitzah mevu'eres al pi ha'goral t'chalik nachalatso b'en rav l'ma'at. V'amar ele shmos ha'nashim ha'shein chalu lachem. Aldasar Boseinu, who Azara le Oker Tchumo Shachavera Ba'arech over Bishne Lavin. And Govla Rishonim means what the other people had earlier. Then he quotes the Sifrei. V'gamar b'seinu atzam v'skiru. Minayin l'oket tchumen shol shvatim shover b'losa. Say tamla b'sas l'gvoriacha. V'hub emes p'shuto shol mikra. So the Ramban is a little bit ambivalent, but he basically prefers to say the p'shuto shol mikra is about Eretz Yisrael. It's about challenging the gorelos or taking away nachla. Although he sticks in a little gezel aspect of it. One would think it'd be permissible, it wouldn't be considered gezel under these conditions. Kamashmalan, it's l'sas l'gvul, or kamashmalan, it's a double gzela. Hard to say. But certainly this is not Shitas Rambam. The Rambam quotes it in Milchus Gneva. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvos has it between Oshek and Gezel. Nowhere near the rest of the Dinim and Shoftim or anything connected to Eretz Yisrael. It sounds like the Rambam thinks that even the L'Sasa Gvul part, even though it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, is a bit of Gzela. There's a special added element of Gzela's Karka Shel Eretz Yisrael. That's even worse. Having said that, so what is the nature of this halacha? Of L'Sigzol B'Karka and of L'Sasa Gvul. So let's try to figure out, is it a Gneva and Gzela halacha, like Ram says in Mishnah Torah, or only Gzela? So let's zero in on this and then move back to the regular issues when we continue with this tomorrow. We still can dive in the regular Chazar Sefer.
Maybe a more pristine